This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Later this month, two Kalamazoo organizations are being honored for their work and programs designed for African-American families and fathers. The International Women's Service Group Zeta Phi Beta Sorority's Rho Theta Zeta chapter will hold a celebratory brunch on June 30th at the Douglas Community Association. Charles Parker is the founder of Charlie's Place. Kevin Lavender Jr. founded the Fatherhood Network. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank us.
Want to note, in the interest of full disclosure, that our own Erlene McMichael is a member of the group which is honoring these two organizations. Let's begin with you, Mr. Parker. How did Charlie's Place get started?
I would say I've been working with programs in Kalamazoo for the last 55 years, and I've worked with a lot of different organizations. And my daughter's them said, "Dad, I think it's time to start our own organization." And so they have already came up with the name of Charlie Place. And I said, "Well, it's going to be Charlie Place." I said, "Really?" So we got started by that because the programs that they grew up involved in was no longer in Kalamazoo. And so they wanted to bring some of those programs back to kids in Kalamazoo. And so we got together, we started Charlie Place.
And Place is actually an acronym, right? What does Place actually stand for in Charlie's Place?
Charlie Place is really stand pursuing leadership in community and community engagement. We want to develop leaders, and we want to pursue them and get the leaders with young kids. And then we need the community to be part of that. Comes back to, it takes a village to raise a child.
Kevin Lavender, tell us the origin story of the Fatherhood Network.
So officially, the Fatherhood Network was formed in 2015. By officially, I mean that's when I put the name on it. I had been connecting with fathers, drawing from my own experiences and throughout my fatherhood journey for about 3 years before that. And then one day I met a lady from Healthy Babies, Healthy Start who said, "Hey, we need to do some fatherhood work at the county. Would you be interested in being a part of that?" And I said, "Hey, I've been already kind of meeting with dads," and it kind of built from there. Since then, we've been able to really get a pulse of the needs of fathers in Kalamazoo and work to build a network of support. And I mean, the work is continuous. So it started then. Since 2015, we've held several community discussions just to gauge the needs of fathers. We also have monthly barbershop talks, which are intended to have a consistent social connection platform for dads, and where we dialogue about all kinds of things. And we use the environment of the barbershop to just kind of, you know, ease the atmosphere and kind of facilitate and foster an environment of discussion.
Are people a little more relaxed in a barbershop type setting and maybe a little more free to speak than they would be in maybe somebody's living room?
Much more. That's what I found. I would say men in general are more transparent in a barbershop setting. Like when I go get my hair cut, my barber and I and the other guys in the room, we're talking about all kinds of things. So I just really wanted to draw on that. Myself and my friend Derek Miller and my friend Jacob Penny Johnson, we say, you know what, we should just start meeting in the barbershop. We have the best discussions there and guys will come. But if we say, hey, we're going to sit around a campfire, kumbaya, hold hands and talk, probably not.
Charlie's Place, Mr. Parker, give us a little bit of an idea of how you are trying to encourage people to become leaders as they grow into their teens and adulthood.
One of the things that we look at, well, actually that I look at, is I'm getting old, and one of the things we have to do is develop leaders. I look at the kids that we work with. You know, I don't see kids with issues. I see kids that's going to be doctors, lawyers, entrepreneurs, and we need to build on that. We need to give them a platform that they can look at. They need role models to see, and so the more programs that we can do for our kids in the community, it's going to be best and put them in leadership positions. We have kids in our program that started when they was in elementary school, now they're in middle school. We got them doing little tasks in the programs. And I'll tell kids, you know, one day you're going to be the president of Charlie Place. You're going to be running this. I see the kids that got like to talk a lot. I say, you know, you're going to be a lawyer. You're going to be a politician. Planting those kinds of seeds in their minds and letting them hear it. And they hear it all the time, and that's what we try to do is to get them involved in the community piece. One of the things that is unique about us, all our board members are connected in the communities, in their jobs. They work with the kids. They see the kids. They see the families. They know the parents. We can now get parents out to be part of the programs and activities. And that helps a talking piece at home. Give the parents something to talk about. As an example, when we started our Double Dutch program, we had parents say, oh, I used to Double Dutch. And they got out there and Double Dutch with the kids, and now they go home and they talk about now they have that activity that they can do together and get them working together. That's basically, we want to get the family working together, want the community to work together, get other programs to come to our programs, to highlight their programs so other people can see what's going on in the community.
I want to go back to you, Kevin Lavender. You mentioned earlier the Healthy Babies, Healthy Start Initiative, and I think when we think of that, we think mothers and we think infants and women who are at some stage of pregnancy. But so how do we get the fathers involved here? Because it is obviously an important part, but it may not come immediately to people's minds about how that it should be approached.
Yes, and one of my close friends, Mr. Jacob Penny Johnson, he says this often, and I like to quote him, that we can't talk about strengthening families, strengthening children and mothers without talking about strengthening fathers, okay? What we have found and what I have learned is that sometimes it's like pulling teeth to get some dads involved in discussion about what they need support in, right? So I think in our society, there's this stereotypical image of dad as provider and protector only, brute force, never needs help, not nurturing. So we're tasked to create a counter narrative to that. And the way we get fathers involved is just by being authentic with them in our discussions. This is what I'm experiencing on my journey. How about you? And then also educating them with some information that would be helpful, such as the five protective factors, which our partners at Great Start Collaborative educated us upon, which are five common sense things, such as fathers need to have concrete support in times of need. Fathers need to have understanding of social and emotional development in their children. Fathers need to have strong social connections and a few others. But these are the messages we're sending and that we're engaging dads in. Our barbershop talks allow us to have that environment to do that.
You yourself are a single parent. You mentioned earlier fatherhood journey.
Yes.
And being a single parent presents its own challenges. Do you find it useful that you have that experience and you can relate to people who may be in what we might, I guess, call a non-traditional family setting?
Absolutely. I mean, we could talk all day about this. Three lovely daughters, Alexia, Amaya, Naomi. What I have learned is that it's not for the faint at heart. Fatherhood is not for the faint at heart. You have to be fully dedicated and committed. And one of the many things I've been truly blessed in this journey is that as we establish the Fatherhood Network, it's empowering for me too. Like, we don't approach this like we're some experts. It's a reciprocal road here. I learn from you, you learn from me. I learned many things from Mr. Parker, from my father, and other fathers in the community that have been consistent, tried and true through this journey. It's very helpful and uplifting just to share my experiences. And what I have found is when I'm talking with another father and we get to talking, oftentimes I hear this, you know, I went through that too. You know, I've been through that too, or I'm going through that right now. And so there's that discussion piece that a lot of times, you know, as the saying goes, iron sharpens iron.
Charles Parker, you are the proud father of six.
who
are now grown, right?
Yeah, they're all grown. I'm sitting there shaking my head. Yes, I can relate. I know what he's going through, and I'm happy that he's doing what he's doing. We need more men to look at that and be part of that because we do need support. We do need support, and a lot of times we feel, as he said, we don't get it. So I totally agree with everything he's saying, everything he's doing. He knows I'm shaking my head. Yeah, go ahead, right on. I have six kids. I have two sons and four lovely daughters. And then I'm Uncle Dad also with my brother who passed away, and I became Uncle Dad on that. So,
and those the children are now in a way supporting your work, right? Supporting you,
yeah.
Because they're working with Charlie's Place.
Yeah, they're all involved in Charlie's Place. I think the funny part, when I was involved in community work early on in my life and going to school, my kids was right there with me. I had them, class with me. I had them at work with me. I had them at board meetings with me. I had committee meetings with me. Every time you see me in my little raggedy station wagon, I had all my kids in it. And so they was always with me. And the work that they're doing now, I kind of laugh because they're doing some of the same things that I was doing when I was their age. And my granddaughter, she attended our first, she's about 8 weeks old. She attended our first strategic planning meeting. She attends our board meetings. And I just laugh because those are the kinds of things that I was doing with my kids. And they become part of the organization, and they start forming things. And I tell my kids, now I learn from them now because they, you know, they're into so many different high-tech things that I said, wow, really incredible.
Kevin Lavender, you mentioned earlier that we have maybe one view of fatherhood as the provider and perhaps the disciplinarian and that sort of thing. Is it important that we view fatherhood a little differently going forward? Things have changed in America. You know, it's more likely that both fathers and mothers, if they're still married, they both work. There's not the traditional idea of the father going off to work and the mother staying home. So does that require maybe a little bit of a change in how we as fathers view fatherhood and how people view fathers from the outside?
Yes, I love the way you put that. Yes. I think through media and like Hollywood, there's been like this image. For instance, when I was young, I used to watch movies, and if a couple was expecting a baby, the mom would be in the delivery room, the dad would be in the waiting room pacing, smoking a cigarette, right? You know, with no understanding of any type of anything related to prenatal, perinatal, things like that. I think oftentimes people go off what they see in the media and say, that has to be what I look like. Well, that was not my experience. I was blessed to have mom and dad at home. My mother and father worked as a team, so sometimes I come home from school, my dad had the apron on cooking dinner, right? Mom would be at work, or the other way around. So I saw this holistic, what I would call holistic view of dad, what it means to be a dad. You know, dad is going to take you to your doctor's appointment sometimes. Dad's going to rock you to sleep sometimes. Dad's going to wipe your tears away sometimes. Dad can also teach you how to fight, right? Teach you how to weather these storms of life. So I definitely think it's important. I think, too, as these younger fathers come up, they need to understand that it's okay to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that I learned in this, that there is healing in vulnerability. You don't have to have this stoic, I'm good, stand on my own island, don't eat anything. Oftentimes, that isolation, you hurt yourself.
It is not always the case that two parents are in the same house. Sometimes there has been change, you know, there's been a divorce, or perhaps people did not get married altogether, and people may not live in the same place. How do you address, you know, the idea of being a parent perhaps from a bit of a distance? I mean, how important is it that you still be involved even if you are not in the same home as that child every night?
Oh, that's a good one. That's one particular that tugs at my heart constantly. My oldest daughter's 14. She lives in Georgia. And for about 6.5 years, she was alienated from me for several reasons that were out of my control. My desire to still be present, actively engaged in her life was there, but I was not able to do that. Now our relationship is rekindled and we're building that and strengthening that. She's 14 now, though. She has an understanding of her own, a mind of her own. Then I have two younger daughters, so where I'm present every day. So I would say a lot of times I have to switch gears. A lot of times I have to lean on my village, and I'm blessed to have a village who I can ask questions to, I can express my frustrations to, I can cry to, I can pray with. So these type of things. As far as the parenting piece, I would encourage fathers that are listening, if you have a child that is not physically with you every day, do what you can with what you have. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, and say, you know what, I can't do what I want to do, so I'm not doing anything. That's not the way to go. You may be frustrated and feel that way, but I would say do what you can with what you got, whether that's writing a letter every week, whether that's sending a text, call. I consider myself a spiritual man, so I pray for all my children. There's things you can do with what you have.
We haven't touched on the issue of race yet. How important are these issues in the African-American community? I mean, of course, you know, fatherhood's a universal thing, but is there a special focus for African-American families?
Oh, most definitely. I think I'll just jump out there and say it's been viewed that we're not good fathers. And I just want to say, no, we are great fathers. And how the media and the public portray us at times is a small segment. If you will find that small percentage of any race of people in this country, and it's not just not in the black race. Our race, we love our kids, we support our kids. And if you go back in history, you will always see the grandfather, the uncles, and they all will rally around the kids. So that's where it takes a village to raise a child. But the media is taking that and put a bad twist on it.
Only other thing I would add is that the Fatherhood Network, part of our goal is to create that counter narrative to what has already been kind of what is consistently portrayed. I'm sure we could talk much deeper in this at another time, but there's like a hidden agenda. Well, it's not really that hidden, to be honest. There's just an agenda to portray black men as savages who are out of touch with anything related to humanity. But oftentimes I find that black men are some of the most affectionate, loving fathers that I know. I wouldn't say exclusively, but many that I know, most of that I know. So yes, it is our job to continue being the best fathers that we can be, and in that it creates that counter narrative.
I know a lot of black great fathers, you know, and I look, you're a great father. I'm a great father because we wouldn't be here if we wasn't. And so being an example to other black fathers is that's what we need to do, is be more of an example, which we are doing right now, being that example. So we're out there.
Yes.
No matter what they say, we're out there.
And I must say, I had a great example in my father, Kevin Lavender Sr. Phenomenal example as a father. He's been in my life my whole life. And since I was young, I can remember him just, he's so consistent. He embodies what I aspire to be as a father. So I just had to give a quick shout out to Dad.
Kevin Lavender Jr. founded the Fatherhood Network, and Charles Parker is the founder of Charlie's Place. Thank you both for your time.
Thank you.
Happy Father's Day to both of you.
Happy Father's Day to you.
The Zeta Phi Beta sorority's Rho Theta Zeta chapter will hold a celebratory brunch on June 30th at the Douglas Community Association to honor the work of both organizations. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.